I don't know how much longer I can be on this ark if I have to keep cleaning up after Ham. Swear. Every day he's got a new excuse. I can't clean up after the elephants. I can't clean up after... Oh, hello. I didn't see all of you there. To be honest, I'm a little confused how all of you found your way onto an ark in the middle of flooded waters. How did you get here? I thought we were the only ones. Well, how rude of me. I'm sorry. I was raised better than this. I was raised better than to ask questions without first telling you about myself. My name is Shem, and I am a son of Noah. See, my father Noah, he is a son of Lamech. Not that Lamech, it's okay. Lamech, my grandfather. And see, I have a really good reason why I'm on the ark, and maybe I should begin there. Maybe I shouldn't be asking questions. Maybe I should instead be giving you information on how I've found myself here as well. Because it's actually a great story. It's actually a story that, until a couple of days ago when it started to happen, I didn't really believe would ever happen. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me start at the beginning. My father Noah is a righteous man, an upright man, someone who I've looked up to all of my life. I love the way that he leads our family and loves my mother. But most importantly, what's stood out to me throughout all of the years is the way that he walks with the Lord God. See, I don't know about you, but where I come from, walking with the Lord God is not something that's done a lot. In fact, as I remember growing up, I just looked and person after person, family after family, seemed to not be following the way of the Lord God. But every time we saw someone who was not walking and following after our Lord God, my father reminded me that no matter how many people decided to go a different way, we would follow the way of the Lord. And so as I said, I looked up to him in this. I had great respect for him, but I couldn't help but realize that the longer and longer we followed the Lord God, the more and more the people around us seemed to be walking further and further away. And I passed on many things in my youth. I passed on many opportunities to do things that were contrary to the way in which I had been brought up, because my father Noah said, we follow the way of the Lord God. And so I wondered to myself, what was the point of following the Lord God? Nobody else was doing it. But then one day my father came back to us in our home and shared with me this story. See, my father was alone one day when the Lord God himself approached him and began to speak to him. And when he came and began to speak, he spoke of destruction, saying that he'd seen the earth. He'd seen everyone. He'd seen how they've gone so far away from him. They didn't follow him. They didn't love him. And they weren't looking to live and worship him. But rather, they had begun to make a mockery of him. And so my father said that the Lord God declared, because of this, I am so disgusted that I've even created man, that I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm going to bring destruction to them. I'm going to bring them to an end. When I heard this, I must admit, I thought to myself, how fair is that? I've followed the Lord. My family's followed the Lord, but more importantly, I've followed the Lord since my father Noah told me to. I've done everything that was asked of me. Sure, I had questions. Sure, I had doubts, but I never stopped following. And after doing all of that, I was to be a part of the people who were destroyed? Well, what's the point of being holy? What's the point of following after the Lord? It gets worse, though. My father continued in his story, and he said that then the Lord God told him to build an ark. Must be honest, I didn't know what an ark was until my father explained it to me. But after he explained it to me, this big, large boat that all of us were going to get into, I had even more questions. So the Lord God was going to destroy the world because it had become so corrupt and had been made a mockery of him. And he wants me and my family to get into a boat? Is that so we're all in one place when he destroys us? Is that so he can ensure that everybody in our family goes too? Again, I found myself asking and wondering and wanting to know, what was the point of living a life to worship the Lord God if all that was to happen was to end in destruction? My father could sense that I was upset. My father could sense that I had some questions that needed to be answered. And so thankfully there was more to the message that the Lord God gave. See, because the Lord God spoke and he said that my father had found favor in his sight. And because my father had found favor in the eyes of the Lord, he was going to make a way of safe passage for my father and us, his family, in order to ensure that when the destruction came, we would be protected. See, because God wasn't blind to the fact that Noah, my father, had raised us in this way. And he knew that though this earth had begun to go into chaos, this earth had begun to spiral out of control, he knew that there were people who he had allowed to know and worship him. So then all of a sudden I started to put two and two together that, okay, so the Lord's going to destroy the earth, but he said he's going to protect us. So where does this ark come into play? I don't know where you come from, but I've never seen water come from the sky until just recently. I've only ever seen water come up from the ground, and even then it wasn't enough to create something that would need a boat as large as the one that my father spoke of. So I asked the question to my father, what's the point of the ark? And he said to me this. He said that the Lord God spoke to him and said that he was going to bring a flood. And that this was going to be a flood unlike a flood anyone had ever seen before. It'd be something that couldn't even be imagined. And that this flood would be the destruction that was brought to the earth. And the reason that he had asked us to build an ark, because he had asked us to build something that would protect us and keep us safe from the destruction that was coming. Now I understand the ark. But I still wondered. I mean, sure, I had faith. I'd been raised in the way of my father, but don't tell him I said this, but Dad, it's never rained before. Who's to think it's gonna all of a sudden happen now? That would take a real act of, oh, God, that makes sense. Fair enough. So, I told my father, I'm ready. Ready to do whatever we need to do for this ark. Sure enough, my brothers joined along. That Ham guy, he needed just a little bit more convincing. Well, I'll let that speak for itself, but nevertheless, we began. And again, I've never built anything in my life, let alone an ark. So I asked my father where to begin, and he said that the Lord had given him detailed plans. It would be this long and this wide and this tall, and there'd be this great of a roof. And how long do we have for this? I asked. Oh, the Lord God didn't tell us how long we had for this, so we might as well get to working. I could still remember the first day. We came out early on the first day. We began to build. And maybe you're like me. I hope I'm not alone as I come to you in this. I thought we'd get more done in the first day. I thought we'd at least see something that looked like an ark. No, we didn't even begin constructing on the first day. Instead, we had to find the wood. We live in a desert land, and wood is scarce. So we began searching. And days turned into weeks, turned into months, turned into years. And before I knew how much time had passed, it had been 10 years. Now, after 10 years, I expected this thing to be done. After 10 years, I expected to be sitting on the ark. No, after 10 years, we had just begun to form what would be the outside of our ark. I turned to my father and I said, "How much longer do you think we have?" And without even missing a step, he said, 100, 110 more years, maybe. If we can get this in about 108 more years, we'll be good. But the building process wasn't the only hard part. See, because I see it on your faces, and believe me, I saw it on the faces of those who came and watched us. To build an ark for 120 years is a great task. But to build an ark in 120 years in a land where there's never been a drop of rain is insanity. And don't worry, the comments that you have may be going through your head, I've heard them all. See, because when we went out to build our ark daily, there people stood waiting for us to fail, waiting to continue to make a mockery of us. See, because people didn't believe this was coming. And people believed we were crazy for even trying. They hurled insult after insult. And let me tell you, maybe not after 6 months, but after 6 years, they were getting pretty good. It started off with things that we found easy to push away, but after the 60th year, having the same people come out and tell us of the insanity that we were beginning in our task, it really began to wear on me. I could remember putting the ark together and wanting so badly just to stop what I was doing to go and give these people a piece of my mind. Because after 60 years, they had something coming for them, let me tell you. But after every insult I heard, another voice came quickly to my head. It was the voice of my father. My father spoke always of continuing to live a life which worshiped the Lord God. He reminded me to not make a priority getting back at those who had cut me down. Rather, to make a priority doing the work that we had been asked to do, that we'd been given an opportunity to do from the Lord God. See, because my father reminded me the reason we're building this ark and the reason those people are watching us build the ark is because they're living a life of mocking the Lord God. They're living a life of mocking the Lord God and believing that all of this is false. All of this is fake. None of this matters. None of this will amount to anything. They're living a life that makes the Lord God into a joke. But that was not the way that we were taught to live. That was not the way that we were going to live. No, we were going to live a life which was known by our worship of our Lord God. So I went back to building. Year after year after year. Injury after injury after injury. Like I said, I've never done this before, so if you ever get a chance to see my brother Ham, he might be missing a finger or two, but he's on the ark. Anyways, the day finally came. 120 years of work. 120 years of waking up every morning and building and building and building and building and building. But now it was complete. No longer was it, could we do it? No longer was it, how are we doing it? Now it was done. We stood there as a family in front of our ark, and to be sure, all of those who had joined us for those 120 years of name-calling and ridicule, they joined us as well. And there was a voice from the far distance that said, "Now what?" We hadn't gotten that far. But I wondered the same thing as well. I don't know much about you this morning, but maybe you're like me. I'd been given a command from God through my father to build, and so I built. I built all the way through to completion. And now that I had followed God, I had followed everything he had asked me to do, everything that had been asked of me, that I'd been told to do. So I turned and looked to heaven and I said, "Now what? I've done everything you've asked. I've laid the foundation. I've built the ark. I've put the covering over it. Now what?" Maybe you've asked yourself that question before as well. I don't know the relationship you have with the Lord God, but I know from my experience, at least from this experience, the Lord God is slow to answer. And I believe that the Lord God is slow to answer. He was slow to answer my question to him. Not because he's late, not because he's trying to figure different things out, but because he's doing it in his timing. See, I believe that the Lord God was asking our family to not just worship and have a life full of worship in the process he'd asked us to engage in, but in the waiting after the process was complete. He didn't want us to turn from worship to mocking just because we had done what he said and he didn't answer in the moment. No, rather, he wanted us to continue to live in worship. He wanted to continue to build in us this word that my father has spoken of before, faith. The Lord God wanted us to have faith. My father said that the way we show the faith we have most clearly is in the diligence of the work we do that we've been asked by the Lord. We showed our faith through building the ark, and now we were to show our faith through waiting. Thankfully, the Lord spoke again to my father. He came to my father, 600 years old, and he told us to get into the ark. Again, I began to question in my mind, there's still no water. But nevertheless, we entered into the ark. See, but the detail my father forgot to tell me at the beginning was, this wasn't just a nice family vacation we were going on. See, I got my family, and Japheth got his family, and Ham got his family. But then my father reminded me that the Lord God had commanded not just that we would be spared, but that we were to go and get animals. I hadn't grown up with a pet before. In fact, I was scared of many of the animals. But my father said we were to get animals of all different kinds, birds of the air, animals which made their life on the ground, and bring them into the ark. And as we did that, I began to think and realize this is why the ark is so big. I mean, I like my space. I like as much space as I can get, but when I was building that bottom room of the ark and the ceilings were so great and tall, I wondered, what's gonna go in here? And right through that door, I've been reminded every day since, the elephants go in there. So the animals came, we gathered them and brought them into the ark. I had a checklist going through my mind. Okay, ark, done. Family on the ark, done. Animals on the ark, done. Rain. Water. Okay. We stood as a family in the ark, and I don't know if you've ever watched something with such great anticipation for what could come. Maybe you've stood there way past your bedtime, knowing you have work the next day, but just hoping that if you keep watching, something amazing will happen. Something that only happens once in a lifetime. But we stood there as a family at the edge of the ark, waiting. Waiting. It seemed as if God was delaying the rain. But we stayed as a family. We kept the faith. We kept believing. We kept trusting. We kept worshiping God to know that if He said there would be a flood, there'd be a flood. And let me tell you, as we stood at the edge of the ark in the final moments before the door was brought up, the people that had been there for 120 years, ridiculing, spitting, saying all kinds of evil against us, continued to stand, continued to wait, continued to watch, and continued to mock. And I turned to my father, who had a tear in his eye. And I asked him, "Why are you crying?" And without looking at me, he kept looking at the people who had gathered. And he said, "It's because he wanted them to come too. He wanted them to believe. He wanted them to have faith, to worship God. He wanted them to enter into the ark." See, because throughout this whole process, when we were building, and I was thinking those thoughts of anger against these people who had come to mock us, no, my father, what he was doing was he was preaching. He was declaring. He was asking that those who came and were mocking us would change the way that they were living, that they would begin to live righteously, that they'd begin to live a life that wasn't defined by mocking, but was defined by worship. He called out to them to come. He called out to them to come and help us build the ark. He called out to help and have them come and participate in what God had asked us to do. But day after day, year after year, decade after decade, those people laughed. Those people said no. They turned around and left. And it was almost as if all 120 years of that denial, all 120 years of that preaching and asking and hoping that one person would come had welled up within my father in that moment. And for a final time, my father preached before those who had gathered to mock, asking that they would come, begging that they would come, telling them of what the Lord God had said was coming. and revealing to them that he had provided a way of escape. But sure enough, nobody came. No one budged. No one moved. No one changed. So it was with heavy hearts that the Lord God spoke to my father again and said that it was time for the flood. And the Lord God, with the strength and power only capable in his hands, closed the door of the ark. And I can still remember, as it closed, seeing the people I had grown up with, seeing the relatives I had, seeing the family that I'd been with so many times before. And in that moment, getting my last glance at them. As that door rose, my heart broke, their anger grew and grew. The final words I heard from many of my family members, the final words I heard from many of my friends, were that I was insane. I had no clue what I was doing and was a fool. And with that, the door closed. And sure enough, after the door closed, the Lord God, who is the only one who could do it, began to bring forth water from the sky and water from the ground. And before long, the water began to grow and grow and grow. One day turned into 2 days, turned into 2 weeks. And I stand here before you now at the end of the rain and the end of the flood. See, the Lord God brought rain. The Lord God brought water from the depths for 40 straight days. And we watched and we listened as we heard the people who had been mocking us begin to scream, begin to shout, begin to cry out that they realized that they were wrong, that they realized they had made a mistake, but that it was too late. I heard family, I heard friends, I heard people I've seen for my entire life die in a flood because they would not believe in the Lord God. Voices which had been mocking me had turned to agony, realizing the mistake that they had made. God made a way out for something they didn't believe they ever needed a way out from. And by the time they realized they should take it, it was too late. I'm on this boat now with everything I have to my name. My family, my father and mother, my brothers, my wife. Everything I ever knew is gone. Everyone I ever knew is gone. But the only one I've ever fully known and fully trusted has reminded me and my family that he's still here. We've had a lot of time to talk on the ark over the last couple of days. Not much to do, to be honest. And my father, he's begun to speak of this idea of mercy. I'm still not 100% sure I understand what it means, but I think I'm beginning to realize. See, my father has said that this ark that the Lord God provided was mercy for us. Mercy from the destruction. Mercy from the impending bloodshed and death that was coming our way. And he's also spoken of the fact that when this is all over, if this ever ends, if we ever get a chance to walk off of this ark, that we are to remember this ark forever. We are to remember forever that in the face of great destruction, the Lord God provided a way out. So that when we go back to the ruins of our lives, we go back to what is left, we make something new for ourselves, we can never, ever forget the ark that the Lord God provided. As I've said before, I don't know much of anything in any of your lives. I'm still wondering how you got to the ark yourselves. But if you'd indulge me for a final moment, I simply ask. I plead before you and say, for my story, remember to look to the object of mercy that the Lord God has given you. Maybe it's not an ark. I don't know what it would be for you, but maybe it's not an ark. Look to the object of mercy that the Lord God has given you. And come the good times, come the bad times, come the rebuilding times, come the celebrating times. Don't forget the object of mercy. Well, I have to go back now. I did Ham's duties, but I've just realized I haven't finished mine yet, and would hate to not get those done before Noah came around to check. Remember the object of mercy given to you by the Lord God. I've got some cleaning to do.